who's ready to do things!
What is happening, people of the interwebs? I don't know about you, but when I'm alone in a hotel, I think of only one thing. I think about podcasting. Podcasting, come on. Keep it clean, guys. I am here in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I've been sitting here watching videos on the internet because the internet is where all the things are. And I thought, you know what? Why don't we watch some videos and see if there's anything that we should talk about, because things on the internet make you talk about things and then you put it on the internet. That's how this works, right? Well, that's what I'm going to do. So let's see what's on the internet. Okay, so first things first, the thing that is very interesting to me when we look at I'm on YouTube, when we just scroll through the page, you see things are like, wait a minute, that's not true. Yeah, it's clickbait, correct. But there's like these business videos that come up in my feed. I don't know if you get business videos in your feed, but sometimes they're just a little bit insane. And I think maybe, just maybe, there's some truth and there's something that I'm going to learn that's going to make me more successful or do my business better. So I want to watch this video where it says, I made $600 million a year doing this in the thumbnail. And the title of the video is Meet the Billionaire That Works a Normal Job. Now, I don't know what that could mean. That could mean that he made $1 billion and now he just is a janitor somewhere. It could mean that he saved a bunch of money and bought Apple stock when it started, because this guy looks, well, he's not that old, I guess. But old is relative, technically. So, yeah, okay, you could say I'm old if I say he doesn't look, whatever. Anyways, my point is, what is this guy going to say that says he made $600 million a year? $600 million a year doing this.
Because, what's the range of revenue all this does?
Over 600 million.
Range of what?
Yeah.
Come on, internet. You're killing me. All right. So this guy's got a pencil behind his ear. That means he must be a numbers guy, right? This is the guy that's going to tell us how the other guy that doesn't have a pencil behind his ear is making $600 million a year. Let's see what the guy with the pencil has to say.
Larry Janeski, the blue-collar billionaire. He has built one of the
Wait, which guy's the billionaire? Larry Janeski or the other guy with long hair? Hold on.
Basements.
Meet Larry Janeski, the blue-collar billionaire. He has built one of the largest and most successful basement repair companies in America. He's invented revolutionary products that millions use across their home. He has a portfolio of blue-collar businesses making $650 million a year.
Okay. So $650 million a year, and he's got several businesses. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're going to see a better one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 businesses making $650,000 a year. Quick math. 650. That's a lot of zeros divided by 12. So that's $54 million a year per business on average. Now, we don't know. Here's the other thing that really bothers me when we talk about making all this money. Is that gross revenue? Because gross revenue means that's the total amount of money you bring in, but then you got to take out your expenses. Is that gross revenue or is that net profit? If that's net profit, that's insane, and I'm going to open a basement repair company. If it's gross, I still might open a basement repair company. Hold on, let's see.
Blue-collar businesses making $650 million a year, and he's achieved this all while working less than the average CEO.
If you have to work 70 hours a week, you're doing it wrong.
So today we're finding out what it takes to build a billion.
Interesting. So, I mean, yeah, if you have to work 70 hours a week, that's a lot of hours. But, I mean, at some point, he probably did work 60, 70 hours a week because you had to realize, well, I don't want to work 60, 70 hours a week. But I don't, if the proof is in the pudding or in the basement, in this case, maybe he's onto something.
$1 billion blue collar empire.
You've been running this for 40 years.
Well, I started when I was 17.
And
Boom. Started when he was 17. Been running it for 40 years. He's done one industry. You know what? I need to take this advice. I do way too many things at once because I like to try different things to keep me entertained. Don't know what that says about me as a person, but a lot of us probably are a little bit that way. But this is discipline, first of all. Dude is disciplined. If he's since 17, he's done basement repair and related industry businesses because that is what makes sense. And he, 40 years, that's a long time.
How much did you make your first year?
I made, $18,000 maybe. I don't know. I got a call when I was 18.
He didn't have QuickBooks when he was 17.
You know, can you build a house for me? Yeah. But I'm 18 years old. So if that's a problem, let me know. In 6 weeks, me, my friend who was 17 years old, and my younger brother who was 14 years old on summer vacation, the three of us, you can't make this up. We built the house and then...
Wait. Teenagers, who, first of all, who calls teenagers and says, build my house? Either somebody that's really, really smart or somebody that's high or something. Because you're going to, what? Okay. And sometimes you just find these people, I guess. You're out there randomly walking around as an 18-year-old and somebody says, I'll give you, well, back then, I don't know how long ago, but it's 40 years ago. So to build a house didn't cost the, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, million plus that it would now, but still. I wouldn't ask teenagers to build a house for me. Of course, I live in California and there's lots of rules and building codes that I guess you have to stick to. But still, if I lived in Ohio, I wouldn't ask teenagers to build me a house. It doesn't matter what state I'm in. Not happening.
When we were done, the guy next door comes over and says, can you build mine? And then we built his and the guy on the other side comes over, can you build mine? And that's it. I was off to the races.
How does it feel when I say the phrase,
did you see where?
Billionaire?
You know, it might be surprising to you, but, hello, in before, 1990, we didn't have computers and there were people that did well before then, okay? So tech isn't the only way to make money, okay?
Interesting point. Very interesting point. The thing even I go to now to make money as well, it's tech. It's got to be, we got to build an app, we got to have a software, we got to have a platform, we got to have an integration. There's something related to tech that's going to be because it's that quick overnight success. I've talked about that before. There is no such thing as an overnight success. It's an overnight 40 years in the making for this guy. But it doesn't necessarily, and maybe sometimes it's better if it's not tech related. It's just one industry or one vertical or version of one vertical, and then you duplicate that in several. I'm really curious where he goes with this because construction, my clients that are contractors and my friends that are contractors are the ones that have really done well considering all of the things around them. But discipline.
You go to the store, you buy groceries, you go to a mall and you have all this retail. But the cool thing is about working with your hands is that you can never be replaced by AI. Amazon's not gonna take over. Your job is—
Well, you're never gonna be replaced by AI. That's not true. You might be. Have you seen these houses that are built with 3D printers or that they've got their cement houses? Now, it's not a house probably like this, but it could get there. Most likely a machine could take over or at least replace some of your things. Now, here's the thing about that I think is really important because the machines are coming. The computers are taking over. However, there still needs to be somebody in the quote unquote driver's seat. Driverless cars obviously is a bad example to use that term, but there needs to be somebody that knows how to prompt the AI engine to give you the right response, knows how to monitor the machines to make sure that they're having the, whether it's running on fuel, electricity, or there's things that break down. I guess technically it could eventually teach itself to fix itself, but we're talking, that's very matrix level and we're not there yet. However, if you're a contractor, I wouldn't, or a writer or an accountant or a consultant or a CFO or a CEO or a content creator, at some point there will be technology that threatens your ability to continue to do it the way that you used to do it. So we need to be ready to adapt whenever that is, whenever something comes that threatens, quote unquote, our ability to do things the way that we've always done them, be ready to adapt and change, because that's how you win. That's how you win this game. Now, I'm not saying that he's not wrong. We may always need contractors to swing a hammer. No, we won't. But we might. I don't know. Just be ready to adapt, because that's how you win.
Not going to be offshored to India or anywhere else, right? Nobody can go in to a homeowner and fix their basement, you know, from Amazon or from India.
Nobody. I don't like using absolutes. I never like using absolutes. I just used an absolute. It was a joke. Using absolutes. Nobody. That's like daring the computers to take over. Don't do that, guy. Don't be the guy that's the reason that we end up in little pods and in goo with pipes attached to our spines. Don't be that guy. Probably can't have somebody from Amazon come fix somebody's basement, but it could happen. It could. Anything technically, I guess, is possible, but don't be that guy.
Or no robot is ever going to fix a crawl space. It's just not going to happen.
Ah, come on. We've seen, how old is this? This is 2 weeks ago. He may not have the internet.
Right. We need guys who are willing to get dirty. They know
that's
how
true.
To do, what to do, and why
yes.
they're there.
Yes.
And that's what we do.
So that they can run the machine that is potentially
okay.
taking over.
You would
see
what these guys do. You would not believe it. You would not believe what these guys do.
What do you mean?
The work that they do, how hard work it is. Crawl space work, we go into crawl spaces that are
oh,
this
yeah.
high. And they got dead mice and snake skins and bugs and it's all mud under there.
That is true. If you've ever been in a crawl space under a house, I've been under two. And both times I was very concerned as what I was going to find and or that the house was going to fall on me. That's not, I mean, I don't think that's a reality, but one of the times we were putting jacks in to hold the house up so that it was more level. That means the house can fall down. These guys are true heroes.
Crawl in there. When they leave at the end of the day, the customer could crawl in their pajamas and slide around. And these guys go into
because
these
it's
very
clean?
Difficult environments every single day. And they make...
Why would they go in with their pajamas? That's got to be a point to say we do a really good job and you would love it if we came and went under your house because you'd want to go sleep under there. Maybe the kids would have a camp out or a sleepover. But the house might fall, guys. It's not a good, don't sleep under your house. Not a good idea. Especially if you live in the East and somebody calls you the Wicked Witch.
An incredibly, almost impossible job look easy. And we pay them very, very well.
That's huge. So he's going to tell us the range salary in a second. But he just said something that's important is taking care of your people that are doing a good job. That in for most people, that is what motivates them to continue to do a job and do better. If they have a connection to the profits of the business, there's some sort of benefit that they get for doing a good job. Everyone wants to be rewarded, and you should when you do a good job. That's part of having a great team around you. When you're paying them well for what they do, he's on to something.
These guys make over.
Well, it's not rocket science. I say that like he's on to something, like it's brand new. It's not brand new, but it's hard to do, especially when you're the business. And I have a problem with this, is when I land a project and I'm trying to find somebody to do the work that I need done. A lot of me is like, well, I could do that piece. Well, I could do that piece. Well, I'll get somebody I can pay the least to do that other piece. When in reality, when I've done the best is when I've actually paid for somebody to be part of the project that helps me so that I can focus on the big stuff and get more jobs, and they do a good job and they run the project. So, and I say project, they're never construction projects. I'm not a contractor. They're business consulting projects or technology projects, software projects. Having a good team is really important. And I've only just started to actually experience that in the past few years, and moving more that way every day.
$100,000 a year because they earn it. It's hard to see this here, but he who works with his hands is a laborer. He who works with his hands and his head is a craftsman. He who works with his hands, his head, and his heart is an artist.
From making okay. $18,000 building homes to owning a $600 million a year business, I had to find out what Larry's secret is.
That's a big jump.
Man, he looks so different.
$600 million a year. Like, did just you started, hey, I'm just going to do basements and just the demand was there?
It's been 40 years, okay?
Yeah, it's been 40 years. It's true. Hey, if any of us are thinking that we're wanting to be a success, especially to the level of $1 billion, now, I don't know that I think it's a good idea to be a billionaire. I mean, I guess if somebody handed it to me, I wouldn't be upset. But my point is, if that's one of your goals, it's not going to happen overnight. I think a lot of us see, and me personally, when we started an app called Live, L-I-E-Y-E-V-E. It's in the Apple App Store and it's online, liveapp.com. We started that, well, let me back up. My business partner and it brought the idea. He needed somebody to build a demo. I helped build a demo. And then he liked the demo and we went and we built out a full app. And looking at all the people that have done tech and the people that he's known, that I've known and we've experienced and talked to, tech's like, wow, yeah, you build the app and the things and then it just blows up and you have all this money. But that's not always the case. Actually, it's very rarely the case. More often than not, it's the long, steady, consistent 40 years in the same industry is where you get to that big success. And patience, especially for those of us that are extremely motivated and work hard and have high expectations, it's very difficult to be patient because we have high expectations. We expect a lot. So for those of us, I'm in this camp. I have to work on being patient and reminding myself, don't worry, it's just been a month. Don't worry, it's just been 2 months. Don't worry, we're in year, what I've since 2016, I've had my CPA license and I've been building my business and I'm doing good, but I'm just now realizing how important it is to have a team that works really well underneath you. I haven't had to because it's been basically a one-man shop with projects here and there. But there's a lot to be said for just being patient and keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. Do things. Sounds like somebody said that before.
Hey, we didn't make a big jump. We made a lot of little ones. There's a lot of business people who are looking for the quick hit.
Yeah, like, see?
I'm going to start this business. I'm going to sell it in 3 years.
Ah, look at that. Did I not tell you? That's exactly what I just, well, not exactly what I just said, but that's the gist of what I was saying. Let's see what other wisdom he has that I already said.
Right? You're going in it with the wrong mindset to begin with. My Dr. Energy Saver business, I went $5.5 million in the hole with no end to the losses in sight. And then my partner quit and sued me.
What?
So what do I do? Do I quit? No, I kept going. 11 years later, I made $1. Today, it's very profitable. We're making houses more comfortable, more energy efficient. They burn less fossil fuels and electricity, and they're less expensive to own. I've had a great positive environmental impact on the world because I didn't quit.
Do you have regrets about working too much? And was all this worth that?
I'm glad you asked because I don't want people to think that I was the classic story of the busy business guy who was married to his business and worked so much and ignored his family. That is not the issue. And I haven't worked a weekend in 30 years. If you have to work 70 hours a week, you're doing it wrong. You cannot ignore your family.
True.
You cannot ignore, you know, having some fun. In the beginning, you think it's about making money. You think it's about...
He didn't answer the question, though. He didn't answer the question. And maybe this is the edit, but he said, if you're working 70 hours a week, you're doing it wrong. He never said he didn't. He never said... That's sneaky, guy. You didn't tell us the truth, I don't think. But still, the proof is in not the pudding, in the basement.
I'm making a lot of money, right? I think that a lot of business owners don't stick with it long enough to realize what it's really about.
That's true.
And it's not about the money. I don't get my self-esteem from how much money.
It's not all about the money. It's a lot about the money. You don't run a business to lose money. You run a business because you want to make money. But it's not all about the business if you're not passionate about the purpose or the outcome or the product or the service or people, then you don't have enough motivation to get to the point where the money gets you where you eventually want to be. But it is about the money, but it's not all about the money. So I just add, this guy likes absolutes. That's the third time I've heard him use one.
Yeah, I get it from those people, right? From them looking at me and saying, I trust you. At your funeral, nobody's going to say, oh, we had so much money. They don't care. It's the...
Nobody? There it is again. Yeah, somebody's... If you're a billionaire, somebody's probably going to say, man, he had a lot of money, but he was a lot of fun. Man, he had so much money, but he was so generous. They're going to mention the money, but that's, again, not a motivator for having the money. But... don't say nobody. Somebody will. Come on, man.
The relationships and the good that you've done, the footprint. Did you leave the world better than when you found it? That's what it's about.
Fair.
You got a lot of your education through motivational tapes. You got a lot of your learnings early on.
Tony Robbins?
I discovered Nightingale Conan audio programs when I was 19, and it changed my life. And I would listen to cassette tapes driving around in my truck, and my friends would make fun of me, you know, listening to all that motivational crap and stuff. So okay. I kind of hid it from them for a long time, you know.
Zig Ziglar?
Wear those things out. Yeah. Brian Tracy and Earl Nightingale, you know, he's like a father to me, you know.
And now it comes full circle as Larry has created his own motivational tapes to inspire others on their journey.
Some people say, I can't be successful because I'm not talented. Really? I don't believe that.
Now it was time for Larry.
So he's like, I didn't see any Tony Robbins, but I also didn't see any Gary Vee. Well, you got to have, if you're going to have business motivation, although this guy's probably the same age as Gary Vee, so maybe that would make sense. And he's also not in the tech because he doesn't think robots can take over his job, which potentially I guess they could still. But so here's something that I think is interesting when you think about motivational speakers, and I've been in that space, somewhat. Having the motivational speech is good, and there's an emotional part of that. But if you don't have a strong foundation and belief in who you are, what you are, what your purpose is, why you're here, which I think a lot of that's so much spiritual. And as a Christian, that's, I get that foundation from the Bible and from the teachings of Jesus. And you look around the creation. I'm in Alaska right now and it's snowing outside. It's really cold. But how does snow be a thing? How do all the trees that are outside, that's amazing. And to look at it from the standpoint of, man, we're in a world where we get to experience creation, we have opportunities to, I mean, even just as silly as this, sit and watch videos and talk about it on the internet, that's just cool. But that this kind of stuff didn't just happen. There it makes way more sense that we're here for another reason. There's not this place. I went really theoretical on you guys. I apologize if I went too weird on this part of the. This is all stream of consciousness. So, but having a spiritual component, because we are spiritual beings, is very important, and having a grounding in that. Now, I think the Bible is the place where that it should come from. I think understanding how all that works and the, you know, why we're here, our purpose in life is important, because there's so many people looking for that. I think motivation is a way to get it emotionally, but I think from a true foundational standpoint, it needs to be spiritually, and I believe it's grounded in the Bible and in the God of the Bible. So that's my sermon for today.
To give me a tour of his $13 million office, and as he was taking me through,
$13 million office employees,
and I was blown away by how loyal they are to Larry.
Michael, how long have you been here?
9 years, November 14th.
All right, 9 years, November 14th. Sue, how long have you been here?
Almost 20 years.
Yeah. How long have you been here?
16 years.
16 years. How long have you been here?
He's asking him because he forgot. He doesn't remember. He's like, wait, I think I've seen you here. No, he's actually probably a really good boss. He probably knows these people very well. He seems like that kind of guy, especially if he's been doing it for this long. And some of these people, 16, 20 years, that's big. That's another big part of it. If you can be good with people and you can remember things and you can stay on top of it, that's huge.
21 years.
What makes you want to stay?
The people.
The thing I don't understand, Larry, how are you so calm?
There's a saying, shit flows uphill.
Nope.
All the problems that no one else could solve go up to the leader. I don't get those problems. My phone doesn't ring. And it's on right now. I didn't turn it off because I have good people. So you need to create a great team of people who stay. If you have continual turnover, nobody gets good at what they're doing.
That's
right?
True.
And then you're constantly rebuilding your company. You know, mm-hmm. If you turn everybody over every 24 months, you have a brand new company every 24 months. You can never get traction. You're going to go for
That's
a ride
fair.
In world's slowest elevator. No, no, come on.
How did you learn your initial skills?
I went to a technical high school, a regional vocational technical high school.
He was at a Votech.
Yeah, so I wasn't afraid to cut wood and nail it together. So this is marketing. So they generate, you know, 15,000 leads a year. If Fatima gets
15,000 leads
lead
a year.
The internet, she's calling within 60 seconds.
I just want to see the Google reviews. This is just so good. This is like so well run. Let's see what the customers say. 3 days ago, 5 stars. Added a full bathroom to my basement. Tech professionals came on time. High quality work. They put in a basement to make dehumidifier system.
So all this is displays of different products that we either manufacture or distribute to our dealers. I invented most of our key products for basement waterproofing and crawl spaces. I have 32 patents.
Whoa, 32 patents.
Yeah, this is a dehumidifier.
Patents are hard.
Sun designed. This is the most efficient high-performance dehumidifier in the world. My son also developed the world's best air purifier. He built this room that we would fill with smoke and watch it clear the air. And we have videos on it to prove that this is the world's best air purifier. We set up lasers in here so you could see the smoke. And we put every competitive air purifier in here and did the same test, and you could see the smoke go from Grand Central Station this year.
When someone says blue collar, what is that? How does that make you feel, or what do you think when you hear that?
For me, I've always been blue collar. I don't think of it that way. I don't think that white collar is any better. I mean,
why would you even ask that question? I mean, I guess some people may have a negative connotation of blue collar, but blue collar just means hard working, in my opinion. I don't think blue collar is bad at all. I think, like I said, some of the most successful people I know are contractors, would be considered blue collar workers. Blue collar workers built America, built realistically every major advanced country infrastructure wise. But anyways, yeah. Why do we get so offended? Stop getting offended. Don't just be the blue collar worker or be white collar worker and then just move on to dinner.
Of a guy who's a billionaire, but if his foundation's messed up, who are you going to call now, buddy?
All right. And I think we got our answer. How did he make $650 million a year? Dude's been working a long time. Dude has stayed consistent and disciplined, which that's the real magic. It's just being disciplined and staying consistent and being patient. Be patient, no matter what it is, the thing that you're working towards and you're trying to achieve, it's not about quick. Quick rarely is the answer. Quick rarely is the win. It is way more about being consistent and being patient than it is about a quick score. That's not how it actually works. That's how it looks in the movies. That's how the Silicon Valley, you know, had their huge rise and have had a crash. The consistency, and I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you guys, being consistent, being disciplined, and staying patient, not trying to do too much too fast, but at the same time, continuing to move, continuing to do, continuing to be working towards that goal, knowing that that outcome is not coming tomorrow. It's not coming next week. It's not coming next year, maybe even. It could, but we need to have realistic expectations, because otherwise we just pack it up and go home. Like, shoot, I expected in 3 months I was going to be racking in $20 million because this idea is so great. Probably not going to happen. Probably not going to be the way it turns out. But if you're patient and you stay consistent and you be disciplined, which sounds boring, that is not what's exciting. But that's reality. That's how it actually, I think, works. I don't mean think. That's how it actually works. So whatever you guys are doing, whatever you guys are working towards, be patient, be disciplined, and stay consistent. You can still have some fun. You can still do some things, you know, here and there. I'm talking to myself too. I need to be more disciplined, more consistent, and I need to make more of this kind of stuff because this is fun. I had a good time. I hope you had a good time. Just tell me you did, please. It helps me feel better about making these videos. Okay. All right. I think that's all for this video. And just know that if it says $650 million a year or $600 million a year or billionaire, whatever, it probably didn't happen instantly overnight. And it's probably some boring, practical, basic, simplistic method that they just did really well over and over and over and over and over until finally they got to where you maybe want to be. And that's it. But it starts when you do things. Because you gotta start. You gotta burn your plans. You gotta do things. And then you just keep doing that thing for a really long time. All right, guys. Until next time, make sure you hit that like button, subscribe, tell your friends, come back, because I might do this again. I don't know. I might. I might make one right now and post it soon. But I don't know. Okay. Bye.